Without further ado, Carla, could you please read items 1342 and 1343?
Yes, 1342, results of financial audit of the city comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2017-18 and related communications. And 1343, accept the City of Portland comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year ended June 30, 2018.
Very good. Welcome. Thank you for being here, Madam Auditor.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I am City Auditor Mary Hall Caballero, and we are here today to present the results of the annual audit of the city's financial statements. Our financial statements are important resources for community members, taxpayers, investors, and decision makers to understand what fiscal shape the city is in at a moment in time. Once management has prepared the statements, federal law, state law, and city charter require an independent audit be conducted to determine if the public can reasonably be assured that they fairly represent the financial position of the city. Moss Adams, a licensed municipal audit firm, conducted this audit, and my office oversees the city's contract for its services. Before I introduce the team from Moss Adams, I'd like to acknowledge Principal Management Auditor Fiona Howell-Earl from my office, who manages the contract. And now it is my pleasure to introduce partner Jim Lanzarotta and Senior Manager Keith Simovic from Moss Adams to walk you through the results of their audit.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to kind of close out the audit process. Probably the last piece is our report to you on the results. So today, Keith and I would like to, again, briefly remind you what it is you hired us to do. And, of course, you want to hear the results of the audit, so we'll talk about the results of the different deliverables that are part of that. There are some required communications from an auditor to an auditee, and we've done that in writing to you, so we're not going to go through all of that, but maybe just mention a couple highlights in that, and we just would entertain any questions actually anytime, but when we're done, if there's something you think of that you didn't ask us already, please feel free to do that. So what did you hire us to do? When I think of our audit of the city, I like to think of it in about five different phases. And again, you've heard us talk about this. The first phase you're pretty familiar with. It's that independent verification of the financial information that's included in these statements. So that independent verification comes in many forms, looking at source documents, talking to your bankers, talking directly with your legal counsel, really digging in and verifying the information that's here. A second phase, though, is obviously this would not be, the accuracy of this would not be possible if your staff didn't have what we call internal controls in place. What are those checks and balances that management uses to improve the accuracy of this? And we have an obligation to assess those controls and tell you if there are weaknesses in that. So that's the second phase. You know, you are an Oregon Municipal Corporation, and the state says to auditors that if you're going to audit an Oregon muni, you're going to test its compliance with about seven or eight different laws. And the couple that take the most time or the most intense would be your observance of all the laws regarding budgets. So how you adopt the budget, the whole process to have budget committee meetings, public hearings, and then after it's adopted, the administration of that, the changes, if you made changes to the budgets, did that all occur according to the applicable laws? So that's an area. The other is procurement. All the public purchasing that you do, there's some very prescribed laws that govern that. And there's a number of other areas, deposits and investments, insurance or risk management programs, those sort of things. So we have a report on that. A fourth phase to your audit, you receive a number of federal grants. So you've got some prolific grant writers here at the city, which is good to help provide services. And when you receive federal grants, there's a requirement of your auditor to do what we call a compliance audit. So did you meet the compliance requirements that come attached to those federal grants? So we'll talk about that. And then finally, a fifth element, this is your financial statements, and you're very fortunate that you've got staff that have the experience to put this together. We don't draft the financial statements, so our role is a technical review of that. Obviously, is it consistent with the audited numbers, and does it have all the bells and whistles that are required by the applicable standards? So those are kind of the services that we provide. And I should mention that it not only do we do the city, but you also are responsible for Prosper Portland, formerly Portland Development Commission. We audit the financials there. The Police, Fire, Disability, and Retirement Fund, we audit the financials there. And then we used to do work for Hydro, although that fund is, or some special work there, which we no longer do.
Jim?
Yes.
Just a question.
Yes.
You've identified the five phases of your work. Has any of the applicable law that governs what you are doing in terms of reviewing our financials changed in any material way in the last year?
Absolutely. In fact, the city implemented one very significant standard this last year. The Governmental Accounting Standards Board is responsible for putting standards out there that governments follow in putting these statements together. And they've issued 90 statements now. I think since we've worked with the city, they were on about number 35. So they've issued a lot of standards in the time that we've been working with the city. The one that was implemented this year is GASB Statement 75, which provides accounting for other post-employment benefit programs. And that required the city to put more of a liability on your books for the pay-as-you-go or the unfunded portion of that benefit that you provide employees. It added over $50 million of additional liabilities to the city's books this last year and changed the disclosures associated with that. So that was a very significant change for the city.
But that change, you're not worried about that. You understand that doesn't mean that we're $50 million worth worse off, correct?
No, it just changed how you reflect that in the financials. The underlying situation was there prior to the accounting change, correct?
Thank you.
But that was the result. Well, let's talk about the results since we're kind of getting there. What you want to hear from us is that we do all this work on the financial statements and we're able to come to what we call in technical terms an unmodified opinion. So our opinion on the financial statements required no modification. In layman's terms, we call that a clean opinion. So that's absolutely the best you can get. That's what you want to hear from us, and that's exactly what you achieved. So we're able to tell that this is materially correct, and it has the appropriate bells and whistles required by the professional standards. You know, it only takes me a minute to get that out, but it takes your staff all year, a lot of people doing their day-to-day job to get this right, and quite a process at year end to put this document together. And so it's a testament to the work that they do, and we really appreciate that. I mentioned internal controls. We have an obligation to assess those, and we did that, and we tested your internal controls, and we identified no weaknesses that are of any significance that we need to bring to your attention. So, again, that's another favorable result. So good checks and balances used here by the city to improve the accuracy of this document. In terms of the state legal compliance, we had no non-compliance findings. And again, that's a great result, I would say, among our client base and throughout Oregon. You will often find things like over expenditures in the various funds. You've got a lot of funds that you use to track the activities of the city. So to have no over expenditures is quite an accomplishment for you. We have one thing we're required to report. It's not a non-compliance issue, and that's that you had three funds that ended the year with a negative fund balance. And those three funds, they ended up there, again, because of accounting conventions or accrual accounting, not because you have a problem in your budgeting or handling of monies. Those are strictly reporting issues in terms of how the statements go together. On the federal grants, I should tell you that we're actually not completely done with our testing of the city's grants. Because of a snafu on our end, there was one additional program which required testing, and we didn't get that done when we were in the field, so we're still doing work on that. We ended up testing five programs, the Home Investment Partnership Program, the Emergency Solutions Grant Program, a Prosper Portland Union Station program, and Edward Byrne Memorial grants. And then finally, a FEMA grant is the one that we missed initially that needed to be tested, and we're still in the process of testing that particular grant. But of the four that we've completed and in the work we've done so far on the FEMA grant, we have no non-compliance findings to bring to your attention and no internal control matters to bring to your attention. So that's a great result. You have almost $34 million of federal grants that you received, and one of those is a, a relending program, that home investment program. You have $66 million that you have received and lent out. So when you combine the two, that's $100 million worth of grants. And we tested a good chunk of that $100 million in the programs that I mentioned to you. With that, Keith, maybe help me a little bit with some of the highlights of the required communications.
Sure. So outside of the reports that Jim just went over, the other deliverable that we issue at the end of every audit that we do is called our communication to those charged with governance. It's required by our professional standards to come to the governing body of every organization that we audit and communicate certain items about how the audit went. Whether we found anything or not, we still have to issue this letter and let you know if we ran into any difficulties in performing the audit, if we had any disagreements with management, if we found any errors, if there were any major control deficiencies, material weaknesses, significant deficiencies. Those are the types of items that would be communicated in this letter so that City Council could look at that, work with management to come to a solution on how to address those control deficiencies. If you take a look at this letter and you're reading through it and you think back to last year, you might say, well, this looks very similar, but that's all very good news, and that's exactly what you want to hear. Just as Jim mentioned with the clean audit opinions, no compliance findings, you know, this letter is going to echo that as well in terms of how everything went. You know, and I think one important thing to know is that when we talk about, you know, hey, there weren't any difficulties encountered or there were no disagreements with management, you know, I think that goes back to that there weren't any scope limitations with respect to the audit. So every question that we asked of management and the staff, every document that we asked for, we were given an answer or we were provided with that document. We felt that management and staff were transparent overall and that we were able, there weren't any hindrances in our ability to finish the audit on time. One thing that will be different that you'll see in this letter, if you compare it to last year, is we actually did issue it a little bit earlier than in the past. And I think if you look back, this may be the earliest, at least in recent history, that we could see of when this CAFR was completed. And that's kind of moved up each year. So this one was even, 2 days earlier than in the past? So incredible effort by the management and the staff here to put this thing together. It takes a tremendous effort, as Jim said, to get through that process and to get us through all of our procedures as well. So hats off to management and staff that had their hand in this process. You won't see that we noted any material audit adjustments in that letter. That means that, you know, as we're looking through internal controls and we're going through and doing our procedures, we can tell that everyone's kind of gone through their own internal audit process through the internal controls in place to make sure that the information that they're giving us to audit independently has already been cleaned up. So we feel very good about the controls in place and that management and staff have good checks and balances to make sure that what they're giving us has already gone through their internal processes. So we're not finding material errors or adjustments through that process. And then finally, as Jim said, we didn't find any material weaknesses in internal controls. That would be something where we felt that there was such a gaping hole or lack of internal controls that something significant or material in terms of errors or fraud could slip through the cracks without being identified. So overall, a very good letter and good news with issuing this earlier than it has been in the past as well.
So with that, I would really just make sure that we're giving you a chance to ask any questions that you might have. And
well, Jim, let me start.
Yeah.
Obviously, your role is not to opine on some of our policy decisions.
Sure.
So you're not here to say, boy, that was a dumb idea to do this or that or how we formed our budget or the like. It sounds to me like you have a set of procedural and substantive legal requirements that you vet. Some are in the nature of checking to make sure we've followed the form, and others are substantive. And occasionally you dig deep into some funds to see whether our accounting is correct and we're managing money. Despite the fact that you have given us this clean, let me make sure I use the language
clean
you
opinion.
Did.
Unmodified is the jargon.
Unmodified. But it's a clean bill of health in a sense. You're saying that that the team did a great job putting together these documents, and you have found no deficiencies. Is there anything that you have identified that still should be on our radar so that we continue to be vigilant? Is that a fair question, even though you've given us a clean bill of health?
Absolutely. You know, one challenge that is not new to you on the governmental side, governmental activities side of your operation. So forget about BES and water for a moment, but those things that don't have a charge for service, you're dependent on property taxes or other types of taxes, you know, you continue to be challenged in a couple areas. Capital assets and the replacement of those. So in the last several years, the wear and tear on the capital assets that you use on the governmental side has been greater than reinvestments that you've been able to put into those. So that continues to be a challenge. And then also the benefit programs that you have, Oregon PERS and other your other post-employment benefits, the liability is growing faster than the contributions can keep up with. And those are challenges. What I'm pleased to tell you, though, is that you acknowledge that. I think with the CFOs that you had, the immediately passed and continued with the current, programs have been submitted to you to try to address these challenges. And I'm sure Jennifer will be here and Michelle to talk about some of those. One of those on the capital assets, you've got a number of programs which you implemented to try to put some money away. So when you do eventually need to cut checks, you're working on that. And you can ask Jennifer how you're doing on that. There's always opportunities, perhaps, to step that up. It's a challenge to do because to the extent you do that, that's program you can't put on the street. So that's why you have folks like Jennifer and Michelle on staff to advise you on whether you have sound programs in place to address those kinds of challenges.
And I think, you know, when you think about this, these two categories that you've raised, one is how we maintain our capital assets,
right,
and two is how we manage post-employment benefits, particularly in a PERS context. I guess there's some satisfaction we should take from the fact that we're in a very big boat with lots of other municipalities that are struggling with the same issues. So this is not unique to Portland, but you're flagging it in terms of trend lines because with the assumption being that we should be thinking about how to get in front of some of these.
Absolutely. You know, you're challenged because your budgets and the budgetary basis of accounting is cash or near cash, and they're one-year increments. But yet these challenges go multiple years. Your capital assets, I mean, the average life of an asset at the city is probably 10 or 15 years. You've got some that are 40-year lived or 50-year lived. So you're not cutting checks every year. So how do you take a one-year budget, right, one-year increments, and make sure that you're taking care of these long-term assets? And that's where you really need to rely on sound fiscal policies to address those types of challenges.
One final comment. Commissioner Saltzman's not here. Hopefully he's coming back at some point.
Yeah, he's coming back.
Hasn't taken an early exit from the council. But I think it was under his watch that we instituted a program at the city where we build in the O&M with every new capital asset, every new park we put online through the Parks Bureau. So for years, we would build parks but not build in set aside the funding to pay for maintaining the park. And that, over time, contributed to a huge gap. Now we have a policy that says when the park comes online, we build in the O&M into the five-year forecast. I learned the other day, right on, thank you, Dan, quite an entrance.
Right on cue.
I just, as I was reflecting on your comments about wear and tear and reinvestment. I actually learned the other day in a briefing that our policy does not mandate setting aside of O&M. It's encouraged, but we don't actually have a policy that says thou shall.
Yeah.
And I'm raising this because we're about to become the budget committee. And the way I view this is it's really a requirement. And frankly, and I say this against interest, if people have qualms about setting aside O&M for new assets that we put online, then they should object to us investing in the new assets to begin with.
Wow,
and Steve Novick used to do that and sometimes got sideways with his colleagues. But actually, intellectually, that is going upstream and saying, I object to the expenditure because I don't agree with the companion investment.
Yeah.
But I hope to remind my colleagues of your admonition during budget time, because as we open new parks, I think we have an obligation to invest in the operating dollars to maintain them.
Excellent. Good point.
Thank you.
Well, I just have to chime in on that, that it's not just as simple as can we afford the new park? It's can we afford to keep maintaining the old ones as well?
Mm-hmm.
So it's when you're looking at all of the issues about who has and who hasn't and who needs to be funded in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, part of it, and that doesn't show up, unfortunately, in your audit. But I'm very glad to hear that we have an unmodified.
Clean opinion. Yes.
Boy, is that inspiring or what?
Could I ask you some questions?
Yeah, please.
And these are all standard questions, and you're familiar with them, but I feel the need to ask, and then we're going to hear from the city's financial staff, and I'm going to ask them the reverse of a couple of these questions. Did you get all the information you requested?
Absolutely.
And was the information that you requested provided to you in a timely manner?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you have time to complete the audit per the original scope of the audit work?
Yes, with the one exception is the testing of that federal grant, which was really our snafu. When we came out and did the assessment about which programs we needed to test, we actually made a mistake in that. But outside of that, the financial audit for the city, for Prosper Portland, for the FPDNR, those all happen right on cue. We have quite a list of benchmarks, as you might imagine, to manage this audit process. A lot of those benchmarks are on the city's side of the table to accomplish, and they met all of those milestones. In fact, many of them were done early. And so we were able to issue on October 30, a day ahead of time of the plan. And if it were up to the city, we could have done a little faster on our end, they could have accommodated probably a date sooner than that. So they did. They just knocked it out of the park in terms of, and I want to tell you, too, that this was an interesting year because you look across the street, the Portland building was not available to us to use. You scattered city departments all over the city. We normally are able to reserve a room in the Portland building to bring our team in and to pounce upon you to do our work.
Still have the room. It's a little chilly right now.
Yeah, it would have been a little airy. So what we did is we huddled up in our Portland office. We took over a conference room. We were nervous on a couple fronts. Would we be able to get out to all the city departments and meet with people? Would they have the time for us? You know, their lives are kind of torn up as they're in intermediate facilities. And I would say that it went off without a hitch. I couldn't have been happier. I was concerned, too, our people would be picked off. When my fellow partners walk down the hall and they see someone that can help them get their projects done, would they be picking them off and say, hey, Keith, come work on my project? And I'm happy to say that everyone honored, just because we were in the office, they weren't picking off our staff to do their other client work, so we were able to focus. So the fact that we didn't have the Portland building to host our team was not an impediment at all. And your crew just did a phenomenal job of preparing, even though they were maybe somewhat discombobulated from what their past history was like.
Good. I'm very glad to hear that, yeah. And I want to thank our city employees for being accommodating to what was obviously a fairly new and hopefully unusual set of circumstances. Did anyone impose any restrictions on your work in any way?
Absolutely not. That's a great question. You know, if that's where Keith mentioned, gosh, if we're asking questions and people are not giving us responses, they feel fishy, they're not giving us the whole story, we would want to bring that to your attention. And we've never experienced that here at the city.
Did you uncover any material examples of conflict of interest?
We did not.
Are there any material weaknesses that you identified in terms of internal controls?
None.
And great, that's it. Yeah. Those are my questions.
Well, I guess the only other question the mayor, out of modesty, neglected to ask is, what grade would you give the mayor for running the process?
I think you all do a pretty phenomenal job, and I don't know how your staff could do the job they do without the leadership that comes from the folks in this room.
So. And thank you for the compliments, but I also want to acknowledge that you've signed a material statement of independence. Could you explain a little bit for the public what that means? I mean, we know each other. We've all worked together. You're here every year. But there is an independent auditing function. Can you explain what that means to be independent?
Yeah, you know, I heard it interesting. So here's an analogy I heard for the first time. I don't know if you're foodies. I'm like a foodie wannabe, or if you've ever heard of critics that come in and they write reviews. When you hear a review of a restaurant or whatever, you want that person that writes that review to be completely independent of that restaurant. I mean, what if it was a brother or a sister or a husband or a wife or the owner of that business that made their own meal, ate it, wrote up the review, and then sent that out? When it comes to an audit firm, you need your audit firm to be independent of management. We can't have biases or we can't have pressures from management that might make us look the other way or not be as thorough in our work, or if we have a finding, to not stick to our reporting of that finding. So you don't want those pressures to be inherent. So there's this concept of independence. So we can't be part of management. We can't be holding assets at the city. We can't be the ones that are preparing these books and then turning around and auditing them. So there have to be these firewalls of certain types of activities and duties for us to be able to come and do our work objectively and report the findings without pressures from management.
But Jim, we read all the time about independent auditors that fail in the corporate setting.
Yes.
Because their relationship is either too cozy with the board or because they don't want to lose their position as the as the auditor for which they're paid handsomely. How do you guard how in these municipal settings do we guard against that?
Well, and you've got a great setup here because we're not hired by management. So probably one of the best things that you did was yours, and I don't know when that happened or if it's always been that way by charter, you have your internal auditor hire your external auditor, and that's independent of management. So I'm sad to say in Oregon, a majority of governments, it's still management that's hiring the audit firm. But for the city of Portland and most of the clients that I'm responsible for serving, it's generally the independent auditor that's responsible for hiring the external auditor. So you have that buffer between the external auditor and management.
So, and just to clarify that for the public, you're referring to the citywide elected independent auditor.
Correct.
Who has no particular reporting relationship whatsoever with the city council or the bureaus that
Correct.
You are auditing.
Correct.
Do you audit the auditors' bureaus?
We do not in our firm, but that's a good question. And in fact, there is peer. I think you are subjected
peer
to
reviews.
Peer reviews.
Yeah.
So this report doesn't include the functions within the auditor's office?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, good questions.
And I think I can infer this, but I want to ask it directly. Was there any weakness that you identified or any area of improvement that you would recommend with regard to the management that you did work with in order to make these audits more effective in the future?
Good question. You know, we always try to come up with ideas, and we do have a few areas of improvement that we've reported to, for example, Prosper Portland in our delivery of the audit there. But, you know, it's difficult here. You've got a good crew, and they do a really good job. So we did not have any substantive observations for improvements with our audit of the city.
When you made recommendations that were non-substantive in terms of improvements, what was the reaction?
You know, I would say there's a great relationship here. Your crew is not, they do not shy away from the audit process, and I think they embrace comments from us, or at least suggestions and ideas. The other thing is they're very consultative. We get an opportunity to work with your crew on the implementation of new standards. Most of the time we're talking about the new standards long before they're applicable. They seek our ideas in terms of the documentation we're going to need to do our work. They also seek our input in ways to implement those, but then they also are going off and getting educated in those new standards and do a tremendous job of already being informed when the time comes to implement these. So we have a good consultative relationship, and which I think helps with either identifying ideas and or implementing ideas.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Madam Auditor, is there anything more, or is
no,
does this complete
I think that
your
wraps
presentation?
Up our presentation, and we can turn it over to management to present the CAFR.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we move to accept the report?
Why don't we go ahead and do that? Let's put the report on the table, Commissioner.
Let's accept the report.
Second.
Oh, we have a motion and a second. Thank you.
Thank you.
Report's
thank
now
thank you
on the
very
table.
Much.
All right, at this time, we are going to invite up our city management team, Jennifer Cooperman, who is the Chief Financial Officer, and Michelle Kirby, who is the City Controller.
Yes.
And they're going to present the comprehensive annual report for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2018. And just to clarify, the CAFR compromises the actual audited financial results of the city's operations. It provides information related to the city's overall financial health. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of City Council. For the record, my name is Michelle Kirby, and I'm the Controller and Deputy Chief Financial Officer. Also presenting today is Jennifer Cooperman, Chief Financial Officer and Bureau Director of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. Well, today we'll be presenting the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and we will be referring to it throughout as the CAFR, C-A-F-R, for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2018. We'll be discussing highlights and financial trends, and we'll also be presenting you with information regarding the city's long-term fiscal health. The preparation of the CAFR report is quite an extensive project, and it requires a group effort to make it a success. Involvement from all city bureaus, the internal auditor's office, and our independent auditors is necessary to ensure the timely, successful completion. Then the Bureau Accounting Division has the responsibility of preparing the CAFR, ensuring the accuracy, and working with the auditors throughout the process. The Accounting Division team is here today, if you were wondering who this big group is behind me. I'd like to take a moment to recognize them for their hard work and dedication to the success of the project. This is the accounting team.
Thank you. We'll suspend the rules for a moment. Thank you for your hard work.
These are the people who really make it come together. So 4 years ago, we established a goal of reducing the amount of time to publish the CAFR. You've been hearing about that for the last several years. And you heard about it today from Jim Lanzarotta. We've made steady, significant progress, and this year's CAFR transmittal date of October 30th marks the earliest it's been produced in recent history that any of us can research or remember. So it establishes the city of Portland as a national leader in providing timely information to the community and to other interested readers of the CAFR. So I've been asked frequently, how did we do it? And we've been able to do this by working more efficiently and by diligently executing some process improvements. Our five keys to success are highlighted here on the PowerPoint slide. Frequent, regular communication, adequate planning, optimal use of technology, good project management, and then continual process improvement. After every year, we go back and recap what went right and wrong and continue to tweak the process. So you may be asking why we're making such a big deal of this and why it's important. Well, first of all, timeliness is a major objective of financial reporting in that it ensures the information is relevant and useful for decision making. In addition, it allows this team here sitting behind me time to do other reporting initiatives, such as the popular annual financial report, also known as the PAFR, which Jennifer's showing you here, the little abbreviated summary version that was created for the first time, published 2 years ago. Last year, we took it a step farther and translated the report into Russian, Spanish, Vietnamese, and Chinese for even greater community outreach. And I'm not aware of anywhere around the country that is doing that effort. And we performed this in partnership with the Portland State University business student volunteers, who are very excited to be working on the project with the City of Portland. So we will now discuss the highlights of the fiscal year 18 CAFR. The good news has already been shared, that our external auditors gave the city an unmodified or clean opinion, found no weaknesses or deficiencies in the accounting processes, and in addition, the CAFR complies with state law and generally accepted accounting principles. We've received the Government Finance Officer's Award for Excellence in Financial Reporting for the 37th consecutive year, as well as this comparable award for the PAFR, now that we are producing a PAFR as well. The city's bond rating for unlimited tax general obligation debt remains rated AAA from Moody's Investor Services. So I'm now going to turn the presentation over to Jennifer Cooperman.
Could I ask a question, please, before we move on? So yes. You mentioned Moody's AAA rating. Would I find similar ratings from the other agencies, Standard & Poor's, Fitch, or anybody else?
Jennifer Cooperman, we use S&P to rate the city's BES securities. They're double rated. Otherwise, we're using only Moody's.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep.
And is AAA the highest?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to look at some financial trends now.
So stepping off from where Michelle left it regarding the city's unlimited tax general obligation debt rating.
Is there supposed to be something on the screen, Carla?
Yeah, you don't have it. We've got it out here. Let's see.
There we go. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. So I wanted to, as we spend a few minutes now talking about some observations regarding the city's long-term fiscal health, I wanted to make an analogy before we get started, and that's looking at the city's fiscal health as compared to an individual when they go to their primary care provider and get an assessment of their physical health. When you go in and visit your practitioner on an annual basis, as we are advised to do, they will take various measures. They will look at your weight. They'll look at your blood pressure. They'll look at your blood sugar numbers. They'll look at your cholesterol. All of these are meant to be different facets of your physical health. And you may be in great shape. You may be a top runner. You may have climbed Mount Everest. You may have done a lot of things. And I have no personal knowledge here, but you may walk away and be told that you have high cholesterol. And that's...
What have you heard?
No, I didn't say anything. Nothing. You're just in my line of sight. That's all. Just making a point.
It was the ice cream. It was the ice cream. I'm sorry. I like ice cream.
But you may be in great physical health, but one measure, one aspect
of your
physical health.
All right, we got it. Move
on. It's something that you need to pay attention to. So as we look at the governmental fund balance for the city, this is a graph showing our five-year trend. This is meant to be a picture of our governmental-only funds, so not including our business enterprises, BES and water, looking at the general fund, our special revenue funds, our debt service, capital project funds, et cetera. It's a nice increasing balance over the last 5 years, and that is a measure of healthy health. if we want to go to the next slide, and we move, still staying with governmental activities, this is the net position figure that Jim referred to earlier. And these are the same funds as the previous chart, but on a full accrual basis, so we're looking longer term. We have longer term obligations that are now included here, and as we've talked to you for the last handful of years, this is a declining trend. This is that one aspect of our financial health that we want to be paying attention to. We talked briefly about some of the components that are leading and contribute to this negative trend. We talked about FPD&R.
Wasn't that a change in the federal accounting rules that
right.
we had to book it differently, and all of a sudden, and around, I think it was around 2014, and all of a sudden that number went negative quickly.
Correct, and that was a reporting issue. It wasn't that anything financially changed regarding FPD&R at that point, but that a liability that had previously been in the footnotes got moved to the balance sheet, and so it was a huge reporting change that occurred in 2014. And if we showed you a 10-year slide, you'd see that change more dramatically. The OPEB GASB change that Jim mentioned a few minutes ago, similar, taking an obligation that we have and continue to have, but moving it so that it becomes more apparent in the balance sheet. I'm looking at you so you can tell me where I go wrong.
I'm listening.
We also talked about capital assets, and the wear and tear in our capital assets is exceeding the investment in the assets that we are making. So some of the things that affect our declining net position are our pensions, benefits, labor contracts, and other liabilities that are increasing. We've had some discussions about that in our long-term planning discussion. Increases in bonds payable with no offsetting assets. So when we issue bonds and take the proceeds and give it to the county for the Selwood Bridge, or that the asset gets booked on Prosper Portland's balance sheet rather than the city's, while the debt is staying on the city's side. And non-cash expenses like depreciation that are larger than the investment that we are making in those assets. There is also a reference to the PERS expense, and the way we are making our full contribution to PERS every year, that is a standalone city policy that we have, but the way that the PERS program is currently structured with a collar, the contribution that we are making is less than the growth of the liability that we are assuming. So there are some structural issues that are impacting the prior chart and why the net position trend is down. And we do have some strategies, next slide, to ensure our fiscal stability longer term. We've had some previous discussions about regular reserving and increasing our commitment to infrastructure investments. And I do appreciate, Commissioner Fish, your suggestion that we use the word shall in certain places that we perhaps have not previously, so that we are actually making O&M and other contributions to our assets. We could be taking some one-time money and allocating it to long-term liabilities. We could be looking to sharing costs with some of our partners, whether it be the county or other regional partners, and a general awareness and commitment to funding these long-term liabilities and obligations that we have. So, in summary, as you've heard from all of us, the city's CAFR complies with all the required accounting standards and practices. We have an unmodified opinion from our external independent auditor with no audit deficiencies. We do have a growing governmental fund balance for our city funds with a AAA bond rating. The CAFR does represent a financial snapshot at a point in time. We do know that there are some aspects of our business and financial activities that we do need to keep an eye on and make a commitment to address in the future. We have been a city for over 150 years, and we've weathered a lot of financial storms. There will likely be more. But with the policies and practices and leadership that we have in place, I'm convinced that we will continue to avoid financial impairment or other concerns.
Great. Commissioner Fritz?
And it's my understanding we'd had several conversations about financial responsibility, which Commissioner Saltzman led, and it's my understanding that you have adopted those by administrative rule. Is that correct?
The council directed me to work on some financial policies, which we are this close to finishing, that will be brought back to you.
They will?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Jennifer, one of my pet peeves is the way we use language in government to mask things. You know, we have a process that comes to council pretty regularly where we talk about waivers of remonstrances. I'm still not sure what that means, but it's a good thing when they're waived because we can go forward. But remonstrances, I mean, it's just not a word that people usually use. If I went home tonight and Patty said to me, you know, let's how's our relationship going? And I'd say, well, I would say it's unmodified. I'm not sure it would have, right, I'm not sure that would be welcome.
Nor would the full audit.
I mean, I kind of like clean bill of health. What since we're going to be asked about this and we're going to be talking about this, how would you like us to refer to the results that we got today? Is it clean bill of health? Is it some combination? Just unmodified leaves me a little. It just seems to me unduly. I mean, it's the language of the profession. Mm-hmm. I think for the average person, it probably doesn't communicate as much as we would like.
Mm-hmm. I like clean bill of health. I think that that's easily recognizable, whether it's you going to your medical practitioner for yourself, yeah, or the organization with Moss and all of the work that this team does. I think that that accurately and understandably conveys where we are.
Thank you.
Could I just ask you a couple of follow-ups? I mean, we heard the financial auditors for the financial piece of this give us that clean bill of health, the unmodified recommendation. Were there any disagreements that you were aware of?
No.
What was your reaction to the audit? Was that pretty much what you expected it to say?
Absolutely.
I'm on the short list every year when the auditors come in. What do you call that interview?
Oh, yeah.
I call it the fraud interview.
Yeah,
what do you call it?
That's fine.
Okay.
That.
In my prior position as treasurer and as my current position as CFO, I'm on the short list that they have to come visit with me, closed door, one-on-one, early in the process, to say, how are things? Anything come up in the last year that you're worried about or that seems odd or that you want us to know about or that's what should we know about? And I didn't have much to talk about this year. I don't even remember what we did talk about. New software that we're going to be implementing for producing the CAFR. So we go through that process. I'm honest when there is something that I'm concerned about, but there really wasn't anything of significance this year. I think we've done a really good job, all of us, of raising the awareness of the city's financial health and financial condition and financial activity in the city. I think it's helped, quite frankly, it's helped that we have a mayor who comes from this world, and you've listened to these presentations, all of you, for a number of years, and you can speak to the auditors just the way you did about what they're doing and why. And we dive into a level of depth that I don't know that many municipalities do. So you take your fiduciary responsibilities quite seriously.
All right, let me ask you a tough question. I asked them the same one, so yeah. You know, turnabout's fair play. How would you evaluate the external auditors? Did they do what you expect them to do?
Yes. We've been pushing them with our speed up of our process. We've been pushing them to be able to take our material that much more quickly. We'll continue to do that. But
fantastic. I appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
So just curious, we use different numbers to describe the all-in city budget. We're a municipal corporation. We have a general fund. We have lots of transfer payments and everything. Mm-hmm. What's the high-end number we now use. We are now...
I use a $5 billion number.
We're a $5 billion municipal corporation.
Right.
And so arguably one of a handful of the most important things we do every year is we get an outside audit to determine whether our financial controls are adequate.
Yes.
As we manage $5 billion.
Yes.
And we got a clean bill of health,
right.
And that's been a recurring. That's we've had that for a number of years. Although I do remember, and during my tenure, there were times we got some tougher love in a management letter where, mm-hmm. with some areas of recommendation for tightening our controls or doing a better job of managing funds and things like that. But that's a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm just trying to think of all the things that mm-hmm. we're responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't a clean bill of health, that's a big blemish on the city.
Absolutely. And it isn't just $5 billion of cash. I mean, it's a whole $5 billion operation, right? All the assets, all the people, all the processes, all of the investments and activities that we do. It's a big entity.
So the $5 billion refers to revenue or expenses or both?
You're the one that came up with the number.
I'm going to get back to you.
Okay,
thank you.
I've always wondered about that.
Yeah, I would think expenses.
Very good. Any further questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Move adoption of the report.
Second.
Commissioner Saltzman moves adoption of the report, and Commissioner Fritz seconds it. Please call the roll on item 1342, the results of the financial audit of the city's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal 2017-18 and related communications.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Moss Adams. In addition to this being your assessments of us, it's also our assessments of you as to do you give this information in a clear way? Do you explain it in ways that both experts and non-experts can understand? And so I really appreciate that. And I would say that we are financially responsible because of the checks and balances we've set up. We have the City Budget Office, we have the Chief Administrative Officer, we have the Chief Financial Officer and the Treasurer and the Controller. We have each one of the five of us are in charge of bureaus where we get weekly and sometimes more often than that, reports on how is the budget doing. We dive into the smallest, tiniest little fund within a bureau and ask, what's the money being spent on? You know, as Parks Commissioner, I was briefed on, we may have a trouble with ending fund balance. We can't go negative, as was mentioned. So we're going to borrow and then pay it back to make sure that we don't do that. And so I take that responsibility extremely seriously. I know each of my colleagues does. And I'm glad to know that I'm responsible for the bureaus I'm in charge of. And so is each one of my colleagues. And then collectively, we're responsible as well. And so that those checks and balances are in our commission form of government system with our great bureau directors as well, because they know that they are truly the administrators of the bureaus. We help with the vision, the guidance, the direction. And so I am not at all surprised to hear that we're doing so well, and thank you very much for all of your work, everybody. Aye.
Fish?
And I couldn't help but think, as you were making your respective presentations, that you're going to complicate the task of yet another generation of people who now want to make the case that we should change our form of government and are in search of some reason to do so. And it's usually been such. It's been an argument in search of a problem. And if the results were not unmodified, then it seems to me it would have been fair game. But the financial oversight of our city is strong. That's the message of this hearing. And I'm very pleased that structurally we have it set up so that the auditor does the hiring. I knew that, but to have it explained again and to have it actually explained in the context of that being different than a lot of other municipalities, I think gives me added sense of confidence in how we've structured that relationship, because management isn't hiring you. And that problem seems to dog corporate America of management being too close to their auditors, too cozy a relationship. Thanks to our financial team, the folks that you identified earlier who do all the hard work. Thanks to our CFO, our deputy CFO. By the way, at one time we didn't have a CFO. And there were a number of us which fought like hell to put the CFO back in and felt that a city of, if you say $5 billion, we'll use that number or another number of assets, should have a chief financial officer. And I think history has proven that to be an important and wise decision. Thanks to Moss Adams for their presentation. And I will say that the benefit of being on council for a number of years is there's a familiar pattern to these, but it still is a complicated subject matter to communicate. And I think one of the things that Moss Adams does so well is the way they present. And they take complicated things and reduce it to things that the rest of us can understand. So we're grateful for that. And I'm proud of the results. You know, we often get nickel and dime for all kinds of things around here. And here it is. This has to be one of the most significant functions of government. And according to our independent auditors, we got it right. We got a clean bill of health. So I think we can be proud of that. And I think the public can have an additional confidence in their government because of that. So I'm grateful for that. Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Madam Auditor, and Moss Adams for another great a great audit, and thanks to the accounting division and our CFO and our controller for the popular report. And next step, get it down to one page. Then it'll really be popular. I'm sure you can do it. Anyway, it is a very useful tool. And I think it was it Ken Russ that started the popular annual?
Excuse me?
Was it Ken Russ?
It was during his term, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah,
so I wanted to just...
We all had the idea, but
okay.
But yeah, it happened while he was here.
But it happened during Ken Russ' tenure.
Which is because he kind of pointed towards reducing the amount of time on the CAFR, so it allowed us more time to work on the PAFR.
Well, good job. Okay. Keep winning those awards. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, thank you. I want to add my thanks to everybody. Thanks to Moss Adams for, again, doing... a very thorough evaluation of our financial situation. I want to also extend my thanks to the accounting division to produce the city's CAFR and for everyone in our city who's done this not only in the past but also this year and doing it in apparently record time. So thank you. I'm sure a significant amount of additional work went into that. The city's accounting team should be very proud of the fact that we are recognized as a national leader in terms of how we report our financials to the public. I want to thank Madam Auditor as well. Without your leadership and the guidance of your division, we wouldn't have the same kind of independence and collaboration that we have. So I want to acknowledge you and thank you. And I want to underscore something that the Chief Financial Officer raised, which is that while I appreciate that the city's financial condition is very healthy by many, many measures, we do have a negative trend in our net position that we must continue to address. I feel that we have an obligation to do that and not just keep pushing this trend into the future. I look forward to working with the Council, CBO, CFO, and the City Bureaus to increase our reserves and our infrastructure investments over the long term and chip away at that net financial position. And with that, thank you, everybody. It was a great report, interesting back and forth. I vote aye. The report's adopted. Please call the roll on 1343.
Fritz?
I also think we need to think of a better name than the popular annual financial report, something like Where the Skeletons Are Buried or Where Your Money Goes, you know, something that would really make people want to turn even five pages, Commissioner Saltzman. Thank you also to Tim Carroll, my chief of staff, who is my numbers guy in the office. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Report's adopted. Next, aye.